Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Hey, this is Brandon from Outsiders Podcast. First off, thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. Second, I want to talk about Anchor. What's Anchor, you ask? If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Free. Yeah, I said it. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or your computer, if you're into that kind of thing. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place, all in one place. So go to Anchor FM or your app store, download Anchor. Thank you. Podcast away.
Welcome to Outsiders Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon. To my left,
Brett Weldy.
Bryce Armstrong.
Andrew McKinley.
And it's been over a month.
Way too long.
Since we've been together.
It's, yeah. I've missed you guys.
My whole life.
It's not even like we hung out either.
I know.
Like, we legit have barely seen each other.
We've all been sick or having babies.
Who had a baby?
I don't know.
No one on this podcast specifically.
No. Not us specifically, but someone has.
Someone's wife had one.
Someone's wife. Yeah. That's true.
It's been, yeah.
And then your house went 1800s England on us.
Dude. Yes. I'm a little rat.
Rats, it's mice.
Oh, okay.
They're not big enough yet.
That's not such a big deal then, yeah.
Apparently some of them are big enough to move a box. But
what kind of box are we talking about? A frame of reference, man.
What was the box?
Small box, big box.
What's in the box?
Big box.
Oh, don't you go seven on me.
What's big in box. The box?
Called
the box.
Called the police and everything. No one was there.
Oh, man.
There's no way a mouse moved it. It's weird. I don't know. I still think it was my wife.
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
My brand.
Military developed active camouflage, and someone was invisible, quote unquote, in your house.
And robbing people on the west side seems like a waste of tech.
Yeah. Really, you knew
you're testing it out.
No, no offense.
Yet all this equipment that was in my house is
all stays.
All still there.
That's ridiculous.
You do have Wiccans that live next door, right?
This is true, yes.
So there's.
Well, that's, I think, where the mice came from.
That's what I said.
I hate the Wiccans.
Anyway.
They have witchcraft and technology.
Before we. It's true. They're like the.
Cyber
what do
they
call them?
It's like the Wizard of Oz.
Who am I thinking of? I'm thinking of people Technomages. That still ride the horse and carriage.
Amish.
Those guys. Yeah, them.
I was about to say.
Whatever they are.
You've been cyberbullied by the Amish.
They've got cell phones.
That's the Mennonites.
They're flip phones.
They don't have phones.
You
know, they have landlines.
Well, I'm
sure they got landlines.
Mennonites.
They got a function. They've got businesses.
They'll do the prank.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Oh. Pranking you.
Do their phone numbers still have like a word and then like two digits?
No one is. By this point, everyone has stopped listening.
I don't know. I stopped listening.
Let's start over. Everybody go home.
Anyways,
back in the bed.
Before we get started on our cool articles, I want to say that someone left their NASB Bible. It's very nice. It's like a pocket edition.
It's a Cambridge.
It's Cambridge.
A little bit bigger than a pocket.
No one has a name in it. So,
which is foolish,
up for grabs.
Name it.
But
name
your child. If you're listening and this is your Bible, you better come get it before I take it. Not that I'm a stealer.
No.
Or a thief.
Did you say a stealer?
Yeah.
This isn't football.
No, oh, who cares?
You don't even know what football is.
I'm not an English major. Anyways, we're going to get on to our tradition of funnies. But
tradition.
So my idea, I'm not going to do Babylon Bee this time.
Oh, that's good.
I'm doing like Sky News.
No idea what that is.
Sky News is like an Australian news.
Boy.
Like, you know.
Are we going to understand the reference?
Yes.
Okay, get
ready. I'm just going to read off a bunch of odd article titles to see how we all feel about them.
Okay.
Are we picking one?
Or? No. Oh, I'm just going to read the name.
This is article for funsies.
Okay. Yeah. Article roulette. Right.
Article roulette.
Article roulette.
Might make you feel good. All right. Let's see here. This is a good one. Two injured as pigs storm golf course in West Yorkshire. How does that make you guys feel?
Like Australia is just a bigger Florida.
My question is, how can you not get out of the way? Two pigs.
England, though, because Yorkshire is in England.
That's fair.
Yes. So but, in like Australia, it'd be like New Yorkshire.
New Yorkshire.
the big pomegranate.
Yes. I would wonder what kind of pigs they were.
They'd have to be big.
They'd probably like go oink oink.
I say if they're big. Oh, it says two were injured.
Oh.
By pigs storming the
so it wasn't two pigs.
So there's a lot of pigs.
Right.
Okay.
It's like when Jesus cast the demons into
pigs. Oh, this is a playoff.
It's hard to say.
Maybe this is an article from
Definitely. That's probably it.
Definitely.
Yeah. Sky News existed then.
I mean, if you think about it,
NPR was around long.
All news is still news, even if it's really old.
A slow news day.
Yeah.
That's true.
Slow.
Take it from the archives.
This was written in Sanskrit. Can we still use this? Yes.
I don't know. Can Google Translate?
Run it.
This is an Australian article.
Oh, boy.
So this says, so I watch Bluey with my kids.
I love Bluey, don't I? I watch Bluey by myself.
There you go. But
there's the truth.
They don't call leashes in Australia. They call them leads.
Yes.
So there's a reference to Bluey.
Okay.
You can sponsor us if you like. But it says cats.
Because we know you're listening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cats to be banned outside unless they are on a lead under Australian Council's new law.
Cats?
Cats have to be on leads. Which in that Bluey episode.
Huh?
Yeah.
Good luck. Yeah. The lead on your cat.
Yeah. Good luck.
Get that lead on your cat.
No, in Australia, next will be kids.
They have those though.
Well, I mean, they make them, but I mean, like every kid can't be a backpack.
In Australia, every animal is more dangerous.
It's true.
Cats so, like, the cats are probably, like, saber-toothed kittens or something like that.
Oh.
They're probably more dangerous.
They probably are.
So they need to be on a leash.
Why was that said, like, fact?
Because Andrew is Andrew.
Well, I believed it.
That's a problem.
Okay.
That is a problem.
This is like what you do to him.
That's like almost a fact, but not quite.
I'll tell our listeners that one time Brett's daughter looked at me and said, Andrew, are you ever serious?
She's 8.
She's 8.
Is that normal?
She's 40. Her body's 8.
That's very true.
Oh,
she's an old lady.
That's exactly That's right.
Dude, she's
That's
great.
Exactly right.
I'm going to read two more. How's that sound?
Two more.
Does that feel comfortable?
It feels good.
It's not as awkward as normal.
That's true.
I mean, we're awkward human beings. That's fine.
You make it.
It is what it is.
So this one is called Family Quotes Pet Dog That Killed Ducks and Chickens Turns Out to Be a Fox. They were mistaken. I don't know how you mistake a fox.
They're pretty distinct looking, aren't they?
Yeah, I feel like.
Unless it's from Australia.
Have you ever seen
whatever factor or say?
What is it when the opposite of albino is like melanism or something like that, where like a creature's all black? When a fox has melanism, they look like a dog. Like they look more doggish.
Melon.
Okay, just for the record, for those of you who are, you know, because this is audio and not visual, he said that without Googling it first.
Yeah.
Like, where does he keep all that stuff?
I'm going to look to make sure now.
Unusual darkening of body tissues caused by excessive production of melanin, especially as a form of color variation in animals.
Why would you even Google it?
Yeah.
No sense to even Google
it. Why not?
Yeah, I don't know.
I also spelled it wrong when I Googled it.
But as a machine.
Google knew.
Well, Google was already listening, so.
And yet, none of it's useful. But yeah, like, so here's.
Oh, it's helpful.
Well, yeah, okay. So this is for the listeners, I'm showing the guys around the table a picture of a fox with melanism. And I was wrong. That totally still looks like a fox.
What we're seeing is black fox,
a black
white tip tail,
the white tip tail like a fox.
I've seen pictures before though, where like, is that a dog? And it's not. But like,
nope, that's a fox.
Let's just say this:
here,
these people were dummies.
That looks like a tiny great.
That looks like a dog.
Husky.
That looks like a dog.
Yeah, you could bring that home and be not sure.
Redeemed.
I feel like we'll link it.
Well, I would say this fox is clearly orange. Clearly weren't.
But it's Australian. So all bets are off.
But we don't know what anything on the outside world that Australia looks like anymore, since everything's locked.
Yes.
Checks out.
Not to get too political. Yeah,
just in case Corona becomes just a computer virus.
I did say this is, should be our last one, but I found another one that's kind of funny. Oh, we'll go through it. But it's a so bird of the year controversy after contest is won by a bat.
It's people don't know animals. Whole country doesn't know animals.
Apparently, people that have sky juice.
Was it a domesticated stew bat?
Oh,
like the kind they used to make stew?
Stop it. Okay, first of all, is this a satire website or is this legitimate news?
Oh, this is real.
This is not like we're not.
This is real.
This is real.
Okay.
Wow.
This is from New Zealand, too.
I mean, I got to tell you,
this is down under the down under.
These guys don't get it. I mean, this guy across the table from me, like, doesn't even have to Google it. We got entire swaths of people that are like, I'm going to vote for the bat. Makes perfect sense.
All these people voted for Bodie McBoatface.
That's a great reference.
Same demographic.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Oh, my goodness. So the forest and bird, I'm assuming, something from New Zealand, their Twitter page. It says, huge congratulations to the Pekka Pekka long-tailed bat for winning Bird of the Year 2021. Hold on. Despite being our only endemic land mammal, most people don't even know they exist.
So yet they won?
Which makes their win even more outstanding.
So do they just let a bird identify?
Which you know,
legit that, called it a mammal in the article. So somebody knows it's not a bird.
So you know the mural of Adam and God when they're touching fingers?
Mm-hmm. Almost, but yeah.
So yeah. Adam has a bat head, and God and all the angels have bird heads.
This is weird.
Just not satire?
Not satire.
This is real.
This is legitimate.
It's painfully real.
That's very good.
This hurts me.
I need to look. Wow. Last one.
I think you do.
Scroll through my phone looking for the weirdest things to talk about. Last one. Camels banned from beauty contest after being found to have had facelifts and bone.
No. You're lying.
Granted, that might be animal cruelty.
Well, it's not America, so.
Saudi Arabia. So apparently they have like beauty sense. Camel contest.
That makes sense.
Naturally.
Unfortunately, that makes sense.
And it's like a $66 million like award.
Well, that's oil money.
Yeah, I was going to say, that money's cursed, so.
Same.
The money's cursed.
One day that money will cause a mummy to
this rise. This is 20.
It's what?
Dude. Okay, so in 2018, 12 contestants were disqualified because their owners used Botox on them.
How do they know this?
Apparently,
and who is
did the camels consent?
They were the only camels without wrinkles.
Oh,
apparently, that's true. Furry. Apparently, they have judges, like really good judges. Speaking of being involved in life and stuff like that, we're going to talk about being.
Wow, what a segue!
Congrats, translation though.
You're great. We're going to be talking about holiness and how we live out a holy life, since that's what we're called to do by the Bible and Jesus. All that.
That's a good topic.
But J.C. Ryle says, doctrine is useless if not accompanied by a holy life. It is worse than useless. It does positive harm. Something of the image of Christ must be seen and observed by others in our private life and habits and character and doings. And in an age of self-care, self-help, and looking out what's best for you, holiness has sadly taken a back seat in the life of the church. The question is, how do we receive holiness lifestyle or pursue a sanctified life? Any thoughts?
Yes.
I know you. I'm seeing someone else.
Yeah. By following what the Bible teaches, right? Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There's no way to do that and not look different afterwards.
Yeah.
It's good.
In some way.
Say when God converted all of us from being sinners. Like there was an instant, at least in my part, there was an instant where I was like, well, I need to read about Jesus and how he was. Because I'm like, I can't act this way, like the world, and read the Bible and go to and be a Christian or whatever. But I think we miss that out when we try to integrate everything from the world into the church. So Hebrews 12, 14 through 17 says, pursue peace with everyone and holiness. Without it, no one will see the Lord, says verse 14. So without holiness, we're not going to see the Lord. We're not going to be like, we're not going to have union with him, which is what we want. This is what we want to strive to be for, or be. That's what we want to strive to be, is is to have union with the Lord in our, and that means that it has to encompass our whole lives. It just can't be a weekend getaway. You know what I mean? It
can't like, be a youth camp.
Yeah. Can't be youth camp salvation, which I don't want to, I don't want to downplay those. Cause I think people have been changed. At, like,
oh, I agree.
Stuff, but like it can't, has to be, it has to go deeper than that. It has to like how you treat strangers or people you disagree with has to accompany that. Like holiness comes with that and being able to become like Jesus, put all of our worldly and feelings and stuff aside.
Yeah.
Which is hard when the world tells you that you should just look out for you.
It's also hard when the church says it's a, if they reduce the whole process to a decision only, then all of a sudden texts like Hebrews 12:14 that say, for without holiness, no one will see the Lord are like, but I made a decision at youth camp. Like, what does this even mean? So I think sometimes it's like a bait and switch. It's like people think that they're getting fire insurance and they're not going to hell.
For sure. Yeah.
But then it's like, then they get to a text like that and they're like, wait a minute. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Hold on.
Like, what does that even mean?
Yeah. Verse 15 says to make sure that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no root of bitterness springs up, causing trouble and defiling many. And so our bitterness, which I think runs rampant, can defile many. It can bring a lot of people down. Mm. Like, especially if you have like bitterness, say like from the pulpit.
Mm.
That's affecting like the whole flock.
Oh yeah.
You know, and it just, which I think it's interesting that they mentioned bitterness. What do you think, anybody?
Isn't it interesting that it says don't let a root
of
bitterness spring up? I think that's interesting because if you think about, if he's using a plant analogy, it's like it's planted and then it grows and it springs up, but it springs up because there's already a root.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly believe bitterness kills people. I mean, it's
I'd agree with that.
Unhealthy. And so, I mean, just from a physical standpoint, I mean, let alone the spiritual standpoint, which is exponentially more important. But I think we see people that are dying from bitterness because they can't let it go.
Yeah.
Can't let stuff go.
Yeah.
And I think it's helpful that the author of Hebrews is like, you need to not, you know, you need holiness. And oh, here are some ways to look to see if you're pursuing holiness. I think that's super helpful. Like the Bible doesn't leave it up to chance to say like, be holy. Good luck figuring it out.
Yeah.
Have fun. For
sure. Yeah. Helpful.
I think maybe holiness and sanctification, I think they've somehow trickled into a idea of like being legalistic or whatever.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to form your life around the teachings and the way Jesus lived.
Mm-hmm.
But people might think that's legalistic, like we're taking it too serious, or like you're too extreme. But at the same time, I think that's what we're supposed to do. You know, I think we're supposed to, if God's really going to change our lives, that means he's going to have to change every corner of our lives, like public and not public.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that might mean we're extreme to some, you know.
Like it's just, just have to make sure we're getting the order right.
Yeah.
That it's the sanctification
brings.
We talked about it either the last show or the one before. The sanctification brings the good works, not the other way around.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can't staple the fruit to the dead tree.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. Well, it's like, I think if a church doesn't teach regeneration, right? The idea that like we have to be changed from the inside first.
Yeah.
But they just legislate from the pulpit. Here's how we live. Here's what you do. Here's if we reduce sanctification to like a checklist, a flow chart that says, okay, we do this, we don't do that. We go, you know, we don't go to movies. We don't trick or treat. We all know it. Like we all know that, you know, but I think it's ultimately this idea of this is people need to live a holy life. So the easiest way to do that is to take the thinking out of it and just tell people what to do. But if they're unbelievers, it becomes legalism, right? You're great at following a system, but a system you don't care about.
We already know, like from scripture, that God loves us. We don't have to do anything to earn his love or his grace. So that should like, take that out of the table, off the table right away. But when we're like, well, like we work in a system of saying that I have to do this, 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 and this to somehow earn his overall, well, I don't want to say the word favor, because that does have bad connotations at the moment. But it's like his love and his grace or whatever. Like, don't have to worry about that kind of stuff.
Would you say a big part of sanctification is motivation? Like, are you being motivated by the right thing?
It could be. I'd agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, if you're motivated by what you, like, just showing off and motivated by what people think about you and, oh, are they going to perceive me as being a good guy?
Yeah.
This church going good guy.
Or what you get.
Yeah. What am I going to get out of this? Yeah, exactly.
Like, I mean,
am I getting blessed?
I live that way.
You live?
Yeah, I lived.
Lived.
Lived that way.
It was like, I don't live that way. 2 years of my life right there.
Yeah. That's why you try to do it. Because a lot of times you're like, well, what am I going to get out of this?
Right.
Like, is there a reason why you want me to do this?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just doing it, which I, like, it's a struggle still. I would be transparent with that.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're just like, well, what am I doing this for?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's hard to wrap our minds around, like, we're just doing it so we can live. Instead of, like, doing to get a reward. Or an earthly reward. Because I think that's what it all is. Like, I want people to see me as, like, this awesome spiritual dude doing all these things and, like, for the church. But then the inside of rotting away.
Yeah, I did that forever.
Yeah. Sucks.
How discouraging is it to have the checklist? Because we're all going to fail it. Like,
oh, yeah.
I mean, especially believers are going to, you know, we're all going to fail and struggle because we're not perfected here and now in that sense. We still have the sinful flesh as a part of us. And to have that checklist be your guide for holiness means that we're all going to at some point miss a step, fail at something, do something we should do or skip something we should do. And if that's what you're using as your frame of reference, you're just going to fail. You're just going to feel like something isn't right still.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, maybe I'm not saved yet if I can't do this right.
Yeah. Well, it's like we know we have a good example through Jesus and he lives in us. And we should try to represent him well.
Mm-hmm.
So Jonathan Edwards, he says, a true and faithful Christian does not make holy living an accidental thing. It is his great concern. As the business of the soldier is to fight, so is the business of a Christian to be like Christ. Which is good, because I think I heard a quote from, it was John Chrysostom. I think I said his name wrong. But,
probably.
Christendom from like the 400s? Okay. And then never mind.
Christos.
Okay. Christofferson?
Chris Christofferson.
Did you just say maybe you're wrong?
Yeah, maybe I am wrong.
It'd be cooler if you did.
Yep.
It's John Christendom.
How dare we call a physician when they use discomfort to make us better, but we call God evil when he uses discomfort to make us better.
Because becoming holy means it can be uncomfortable.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's uncomfortable.
As we're going against
sanctification, sanctification is not a fun process all the time. Oh my goodness!
I think most of the time it's not.
Yeah,
I don't know.
No, I don't know.
I don't want to say.
Don't say all this.
Yeah, I don't say that. There's just seasons when you're battling against yourself or whatever.
I think that's true.
Yep.
You know?
I also think what's interesting about sanctification is that the more you become like Christ, the more you're aware that you're not like Christ.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like that. Getting part of those seasons are like I'm drawing nearer and nearer to God, and I'm seeing more and more of my sin. I'm no more or less than, I'm probably less of a sinner than I was when I started this whole thing, but I'm more in tune with the mind of Christ. Yeah. And so I see things I probably didn't see before. I'm catching sins that I didn't know I was committing. Sins like whack-a-mole, like you knock one down, two more pop up.
Yeah.
We all know what that's like. Like you think like I'm locking in on this sin and I'm getting it out of my life, and then two more pop up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But what I like about that Edwards quote is the business of the Christian is to be like Christ. Like to think about the intentionality and the purpose of everything in this life is to become more like Christ for a believer, which I think is, I mean, I think the intentionality and the idea that we need to be pursuing being like Christ in everything, it's our business. Like it's what we do.
Right.
So yeah, I'm a dad or I'm an employee or whatever, but like it all falls in the umbrella of like we're being like Christ where we're at.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
I think being like Christ too, we have to read the word in a certain way. Like,
what way is that? I agree, but what do you mean?
It just came to me. So I'm like, I'm thinking like we've got to read like the word intentionally, but we also have to read it by its category, like a book, like a certain book or like a minor prophet. Like not every time it isn't. I don't think it always points to like something. For like life application-y. I don't know necessarily.
The Bible is a book for you, but not about you.
Yeah.
Like It's not a, like, we're like, if we're putting ourselves in the center, we're missing the point of the Bible.
Because there is that theology, man. But you're there, like your story is there somewhere, but it's not true.
Oh yeah, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've heard a preacher say, "Put yourself in the middle of this story because this story is all about you."
I wasn't an enslaved Israelite.
Yeah, true. Like,
I live in modern day America.
Yeah, it's been a lot that I've heard that over.
Well, I think is, but it's easy to. It's like an easy
guy. It's engaging. Yeah. If you're trying to keep people listening every week.
Yeah, of course.
But wait.
I was in Micah. I too believe that Jesus would come from Bethlehem.
No, but like putting ourselves in the gospel.
Yeah.
But we're just trying to live in modern day 2021, almost 2022 America, which is splitting down the middle in a lot of places. Like, and it just keeps getting more and more divided.
Mm-hmm.
And we live in a different world than what they had to deal with. Like, to us, what we make, like, say it financially, we're rich. Because back in the Roman era, this, like, I had heard it in a pretty good analogy of, like, this tip of a spear. And the very, very tip is the 3% of the rich, and everyone else is down to zero. Like, that's how big the poverty gap was. To us, we're rich, you know? Like, we can't compare to, like, the struggle that they necessarily went through. Ours is getting a little bit more, maybe, uncomfortable because people call us, like, I think people think Christians are a threat to the, obviously, the progress of this society, but that's okay. We can handle it because we've been given the word to like live a life set apart. And to be honest, I think people are a little bit more receiving to it than we play out because everything's so confusing and like there's no dirty ground to stand on. That's the problem with modern like ideologies. A lot of times there's no foundation to it. It's just an idea. And when that gets taken away, they're like, what am I supposed to believe? You know, but then we sweep in and say, hey, this is a foundation that's been set forever. Anyone want to add on to that?
I would say that we are, as humans, are predisposed to want truth. And so I think in a culture that consistently says things that aren't true, and like think about gender or whatever, it's just everybody's world is so shaky right now because things that were true 10 years ago just aren't true anymore, but like nothing's changed.
Yeah.
So I think coming with truth, I mean, I think what's cool about the Bible is its truth claims. I'm saying this is reality. The Bible shapes reality. I think people, if they're honest with themselves, want that because they're not getting it anywhere else. You know, they're going to school, they're going wherever, and they're just like...
They're going online.
There's no firm footing. There's nowhere to stand. It's like, if I'm buying into everything that the world's selling, it's going to change in another 6 months, and all of a sudden I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I mean, who can sustain that lifestyle?
Yeah.
Who wants to sustain?
No one with an attention span. You have to like be okay with the fact that nothing will last more than 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, we've seen people in popular culture get canceled for stuff they tweeted 10 years ago. I mean, who can live like that?
That's insane.
It's exhausting.
Well, I think I want to be sensitive because I know like technology is a great tool. But at the same time, it's turned us to the point where we can't like sit still and pay attention.
I agree with that.
And really like think. Like we get a lot of times we get our news information off a 30-second reel.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And that's okay. Like but we don't actually do the work.
I mean, our children are getting that shoved down their throats. The Cocomelon, the number one show on Netflix for children. There is not one scene longer than 3 seconds. It pops to the next shot after in less,
really?
3 seconds or less. Every single shot is 3 seconds or less, and it makes their attention span go down and down and down and down and down. And it's like they're not going to be able to pay attention to anything when they get to kindergarten.
Honestly,
it's not possible.
But that's like easy indoctrination too.
Absolutely.
I mean, like you get to the point where you can't focus enough, and if someone just like slowly just starts repeating a certain thing to get you to buy into it, it's good.
Well, and then to sit down and read a book and then to read the Bible, like it's going to be so boring because it's not that 3 seconds or less. You have to try.
There's studies about like actually like picking up a physical Bible and reading it over picking up your phone.
Yeah. I hate reading the Bible off my phone.
Yeah. The only reason I have a Bible app on my phone is to sit versus because I don't want to type them out.
Yeah. I use it to tie to my note app.
That's perfect. So apparently the world is also trying to sanctify us.
Oh.
I mean, if we're talking about our topic, Yeah. I mean, the world does a really good job of trying to integrate us into their line of thinking.
Oh, yeah.
The mind of the world, and we need the mind of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I think that we're dancing around it. We see all of these threads in our, I mean, we have all these threads, and like tying them together is like the world is sanctifying us, or, you know, unholy sanctification. This idea of you're either going to be conformed into the image of the world or the image of Christ. Like there's no third direction. Like no one gets a neutral. I mean, no one gets a neutral. No one gets a pass.
There's no purgatory.
No. Hashtag truth.
Well, then John Mark Comer from Bridgetown Church, he put it well that we're constantly being formed by something.
Mm-hmm.
The world's trying to form us. And he lives over in Portland. So it was a more Portland thing. But you can use that everywhere. We're being formed by something.
What I notice being involved with like youth group at our church, and you guys have all done your time in youth as well. Like these kids have got it. I mean, I tell them almost every week, I'm like, you guys deal with stuff that was so far off my radar. I'm 37 years old. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I was in high school, like none of this stuff was even thought about. And it's like, and you're coming here 1 hour a week, church 1 hour a week. Like if you're not intentional about what you're thinking about and what you're doing, like you're going to get sucked in.
Yeah.
You're just going to get sucked in. And the point of sanctification is no, you need to walk with Christ. Like we have a quote by Spurgeon. If you think you can walk in holiness without keeping up perpetual fellowship with Christ, you have made a great mistake. If you would be holy, you must live close to Christ. That's 1800s.
Yeah.
Nothing new under the sun.
Yeah. We act like all of this ideology and stuff is new. It's not.
It's just coming at us faster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's basically the only difference.
Yeah. Because to think about like where we were, say, 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
like I'll be 30 in March.
All right. Or 80 or 20.
Little babies.
I was just saying, like,
get the walker.
I was saying, like, to think of like where I was in high school to where I am now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like to where we are now.
Oh, gosh.
Well, like it's insane.
How like chocolate three. That was a cell phone, by the way.
That was a cell phone. I had a BlackBerry.
It's like, I didn't know candy bars had sequels.
But it's like a snowball.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, there's nothing new under the sun.
Mm-mm.
You know? So therefore, Ephesians 4:1-3, therefore, I, the prisoner in the Lord, urge you to walk worthy of the calling you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's this reoccurring theme of peace with others that it seems like Jesus and Paul, the apostles, always hit on,
mm-hmm.
even if we think differently, but we're supposed to have peace with people. So it's almost like almost a non-confrontational spirit, almost.
That's so hard, especially in the workplace. There's constantly someone that's going to try and have confrontation with you, whether you like it or not, whether you avoid it or not. There's people that are going to come at you, and it has maybe nothing to do with the Bible. It might have everything to do with the Bible because they don't see your viewpoint. So to have that spirit through the bond, the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace is so vital.
I'm just thinking about how the difference between unity and conformity. And how when we're being set apart for the world, we're asked to conform, we're asked to accept all things and basically say we don't feel anything real and be part of that, you know, completely just blank blob of, you know, just being okay with everything, accepting everything. Whereas unity, when we're set apart for Jesus, is finding peace in those differences. And I think it's where, as believers, we can basically just bring ourselves to the table and find unity with others without having to say, I accept all things and all things are true. I think that's just the dichotomy I'm seeing there. It's kind of weird.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think when people were to walk into our church or any church and look at everybody, what is the unifying factor? Is it skin color? Is it socioeconomic status? Like what should be the thing? It's Christ, right? Like the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We're not all going to be carbon copies of each other, nor should we be.
Right.
I truly believe that there are Christians that'll come down on opposite sides of the same non-gospel issue.
Yeah.
We see it all the time. Some churches, it blows the church up. And other places, they learn to be unified and say, you know, we live together in peace, because this is not a gospel issue. Your view of these things, you know, the other side of it could be, you're not as, this young man is not as mature in his faith as someone else. So you have to bear with that.
Yeah.
Right. There are people, I mean, if we're talking about sanctification, we're all at different steps, right? Yeah. So we're all going in this, Lord willing, we're all going in the same direction, but we're not all there. So sometimes you walk into a church and you got somebody that's maybe not as sanctified, and they say some things and you're kind of like, ooh, I'm going to bristle at that.
Yeah.
But like, as the more mature brother, we have to bear with that. Say, our goal is unity, not doormat.
Yeah.
But like, are we with patience bearing with one another in love, or are we bombing on somebody saying, you know, not out of love, but out of some other motive?
Yeah.
You need to stop talking.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I look at this stuff and I think that means we have to constantly be seeing like where we're at in our stage of apprenticeship to Jesus.
What do you mean by that?
So it's like we're trying to follow in the ways of Jesus, and we're all going to be at different stages.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just always keeping ourselves accountable, saying, you know, like, not to think of yourself higher or holy, but say, I'm in this stage. Like, we're learning new things every time we open the Bible. We're learning more and more about who God is, who Jesus is. And I think that's part of discipleship to him, is learning like where we're at in the moment. And like when these thoughts come up saying, no, you shouldn't say this. Like, say a younger Christian just blabs something that's obviously like just out there. Whatever, like,
we've all heard it.
Yeah. Instead of just,
we've all probably said it.
instead of all coming down on at it like with aggression or like anger or frustration. It's like, well, where are these feelings coming? Like, why am I getting so like worked up? And like, how can I like come at it with a like identity of unity and peace?
I guess I just get more uncomfortable. I don't get angry. I just get uncomfortable.
He starts to squirm in his seat.
I do.
I just think about the fact that like a percentage of infinity and another percentage of infinity is not any closer to the end of infinity. And so I'm going to put something out of my mouth that's just totally stupid at some point down the road. I'm not done saying stupid things, and I won't be until I'm dead. You know, like that's just where we all are.
Yeah.
And we were at the point where the new dumb kid is saying dumb things. We were there.
Yeah.
And the stuff we now know is still,
we're still not
a fraction of a percent of what's out there is truth.
Right.
Yeah.
We're never going to get close enough to in ourselves be accomplished.
Yeah.
I mean, we are not Christ.
No. And it's messy too, right? Because just because you're older than somebody or someone's older than you doesn't mean that we're all at the same maturity level. So it can be awkward to have to correct an older brother or sister in Christ because of something they said as we're trying to walk together in unity. And it can also be very prideful to turn to a younger man or younger lady and say, well, pull up a chair, son. Let me tell you all about how to become closer to Christ. Come have a seat.
And back in my day,
we used to have to read paper Bible.
Still better if you do.
True.
I still got the paper cuts to prove. No.
This paper is too thin to cut.
True.
Yeah, but we're chosen. So we have to live like we're chosen. 1 Peter 2:9-10 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. You had not received mercy, but now you receive mercy. So we're chosen. So we have to live like we're chosen. We have to live like we are. We're people of his own possession. So that means we're his. He owns us. And we must proclaim his excellency. So we have to proclaim how good he is and how he's a healing hope. He's the living hope. And he's called us out of darkness into eternal life/light. So we have, like, this is good. This is something to strive for. It's not a burden to bear. It's like, it's easy. This yoke is easy. This yoke is light. That's good. You know, especially like we said, in a world of chaos and like disarray, this is like a firm foundation. The gospel is a firm foundation that we can set ourselves upon and be confident to know that it's not going to move.
Do you guys think these truths help motivate sanctification, knowing this stuff, does it help, like, say, okay, if I am this, I need to go forward? I've always found this text to be that way.
Yeah.
It's almost like, I'm thinking out loud, it's almost like if I play on a sports team and I'm proud of the name on the front. It's like, if that's who we are, that's who we need to be. I mean, if we're chosen, if we're a priesthood, if we're holy, if God chose us as a people for his possession, like you said, we need to act like it. You know, that's a good motivator. That's a lot better motivator than, well, this church put out this checklist. I'm glad that I'm following it.
Yeah.
Read my Bible, check.
I read my one verse.
Prayed for 5 minutes, check.
It seems like it should be such an easy concept. It's so, so fast, big.
We spend a lot more time being sanctified than we do being saved.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
True. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. One's in an instant. One's a lifetime.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, I think that's why, I mean, I've mentioned it. I mentioned it not recording, but like talking like a rule of life or a rhythm of life or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's like the big thing I've been working on outside of this is like structuring like my everyday life to have some kind of rhythm of where I'm constantly like running back to God.
I don't know how far we want to go.
No. Tonight,
but I do want to ask like,
whatever you,
I want to ask you this. So like, yes. And I want everybody to kind of see what you, I want to know where you guys are at on this, but I've been dogging on checklists.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm also writing a rule of life. The things that I want to do every day to draw near, because one of the verses you pulled here was Philippians 2, which says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is working in you both to will and to work according to his good purpose. So we are called to work out our salvation, right?
Yeah.
And yes, we know the glorious truth that God is working in us, so it won't fail. Philippians 1:6 says that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. So we are affirmed and confirmed that he will, but we're still called to work. So how do we put together this idea that we don't want to get into a dry checklist?
Yeah.
Or how do you guys put together, I don't just want a checklist, but there are things that I know I need to do daily if I want to draw near to God.
Yeah. I mean, we are dogging on checklists.
Yeah.
But I function with checks,
with checklists.
Yeah.
So
what's the difference?
So
I motivate. In your mind, how do you?
I mean, the difference is I'm not just sitting here going, I have to do this and I have to do this. I have to do this. Just to say that I've done it. Because I'm not going to sit here and go, yeah, Brandon, I'm doing this rule of life thing just because you want me to do this rule of life thing. But like, it makes sense of why I need to do it because I need to have this functionality in my life.
It's
not just me going, okay, I've got this, but it's like, okay, I'm doing this for a purpose and for a reason, for sanctification, for my life in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
the cool thing about like a rule or like is it's hard to say rule because you say rhythm or whatever.
Yeah, no, it's called a rule.
Yeah, it's a little bit bold. The cool thing about like a rule of life is that it's flexible.
Yeah,
like it's not a holding document where like if you don't do this, there's
it's not a contract.
Yeah, it's not a contract. It's a thing. It's like not there's going to be seasons where this is going to change, but it's always pointing us back to discipleship to Jesus.
Yeah, it has been interesting starting this while having a newborn,
right?
While living in my in-laws' house because I'm pulled out of my own house for the temporary time.
Yeah,
like it's been weird
to
try and start all of this in this season of life. I know this is going to be very short, but it's still applicable now.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's just like I said, it's pointing you back to being like Jesus.
Yeah,
like what we're supposed to do.
It sounds to me like the difference between this is just a checklist and this is a rule of life is the motivation, the purpose behind it. It's whether or not am I doing a list because I believe this list will save me or sanctify me versus I can't work out my salvation as far as the scripture tells us to on my own because I'm scatterbrained and ADB. And so a checklist helps.
Yeah.
And that's the difference.
That's why I have to have a checklist.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, so yeah, I think the motivation changes the thing. The purpose changes the object. Which, don't tell Schrodinger that, you know.
Or his cat.
Yeah.
Half of this table didn't get that reference.
Okay.
Respect it. Sorry.
No, not going to.
Yeah, no, not too. We'll tell you later.
Not worth it. Okay.
Okay.
But so that's why I've been super pumped on a rule of life. This is like, oh, I've never heard of this. I get exposed to it. I'm like, you mean I don't have to just be like this weird, random, salvation or like,
I mean, you are weird and random,
but it's like,
to but you are also saved.
Yes,
you are. But you are saved.
I thought about my life and how like there's no structure to like my life with God. I'd just be like, I'll just read whenever, or like I'll just pray whenever.
Yeah.
And like, but if I'm more intentional, it's like, no, I'm trying to center in, like having like a lit, like a like having set times where I know people are going to pray at the same time.
Yeah, that app you sent is pretty dope.
Yeah, you read it out and you're like,
yeah.
It's weird.
It's
it is weird some of the way it's braced.
Almost, just yeah, regular, well, but I think it was from it's from an Anglican point of view.
It is. That is what they said. It's Anglican.
But yes. It's super
it's interesting.
What is it anymore though?
It's very hip to go high church yeah. these days.
But not like
you know it's cool.
It's just been it's helped. And then I downloaded the Daily Office one too.
That's a bust.
It's a big one.
Send me that. So I do have to be honest though, I'm not waking up at 6:30.
I'll send it to you too. But we'll switch the times. So we're all.
I wake up at 6:45. It's just
yeah. So we're all together on it.
I like it.
I notice that like I think it's become this romanticized idea to be spontaneous about things that are spiritual. I guess, okay. And so I can see how like this would you know people will struggle with this. It's like no. If you put it on a schedule, then it doesn't mean as much. You know, it's not from the heart. That's bulk. But because intentionality, I think, is far more pertinent than spontaneity.
Yeah, because if you're super spontaneous, there's a lot of times it don't happen. It's not gonna happen.
Yeah,
or whatever.
And I say all of this being like someone who was very much like that for a long time. Just thinking like, man, no, if I put this on a calendar, then I'm just not gonna feel it. I'm just gonna do it.
Yeah.
Because I thought feelings were important.
Feelings don't matter. Feelings don't matter.
Does the Holy Spirit work through structure too? I mean, that's the question we have to ask ourselves, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And
Holy
School answer?
Yes.
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 Yeah. Oh. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes, the Holy Spirit works through structure. Yes.
Holy Spirit works through structure, but he's also the Holy Spirit. So he
can do whatever he wants. Whatever.
No, I agree. But what I'm saying is if we're going to structure our days to say, I want to set myself up to win. Yeah. Can the Holy Spirit work through that? I mean, versus the only spontaneity is the only real highest way to live. Was all I was
that's
saying.
That's nonsense.
You're right. I agree.
The balance.
I agree.
The Holy Spirit works in both ways and other ways that we can't perceive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we just have to be okay with, on our end of the spectrum, we have to have that intentionality.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have to be flexible and be okay with when the spontaneity happens.
Oh, yeah.
I think if you can find that balance in there, I mean, you'll have other problems because we're human and we're sinful. But like,
We shouldn't stop and say, well, the Lord's really impressing on me to pray right now, but I don't pray till noon. Like, we don't want to do that either.
Bad idea.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Because that's my app's going to do.
That's my butt.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But I mean,
that's my big butt.
I was about to rephrase that. It's your hot button, maybe? Is that what you're getting
at? Yes,
that's why I said.
But is the yes butt.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying.
I think yes butt should be one word now. YESBUT.
Yeah.
Yes butt.
Yes butt.
Yeah. It's because if we just sit there and go, I'm not praying till noon.
Yeah.
Or we're doing this at this time and we're not going to go off of this path.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Holy Spirit does what he wants.
Right.
And it's not our it's job to tell him what to
fall
do.
In.
Yeah.
The other one being, it's time to pray, but I don't feel it right now.
I think we should anyway. Yeah.
Yes.
I feel like that's the
term. Yeah. Because
that builds discipline.
Yes. Yeah. James 4 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if you feel far away, press in.
That's been like one of the big verses this year, at least for me, is like drawing near to him and he'll draw near to me on top of abiding in the vine.
Mm.
And being just intertwined, like just having like communion with the Father through the Spirit and being okay when the Spirit makes me uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, I want to weigh in on everything that you guys said because I agree with everything you said. So my perspective of this checklist versus rule of life thing is, so I came in my 20s, I came up reading a lot of self-help. So I was a big checklist guy, but it was all like, if you just follow these processes, you will have good things happen. And so I pivoted out of that into just habits. So my goal was just, let's just have the habit of reading the Bible the first 30 minutes I'm awake in the day. And so for me, I don't even know if it's just like using the word habit versus checklist was for me that the thing was like, okay, I just need to build a habit to just say the rhythm of my life. So I was kind of trying to follow. I was like, if I get up at 5:30 and I read till 6 and I pray till 6:15, like I have these habits. It's like a muscle almost, right? Because you guys know, I mean, it's like when you get going, it's like I got this habit. It's almost like I don't want to stop because I feel like I'm moving in the right direction. But I had to, I mean, so like when we talk about, I dog on checklists because I spent my whole 20s like thinking that checklists were the secret to success in life in all areas. And they are good, but they are no match for the spirit.
Yeah. I had the pleasure of maybe like the Holy Spirit doing things out of abnormally that I didn't understand in a non-Pentecostal church at my grandpa's church. Like the Holy Spirit just showed up. And we're like, well, these dudes, this is some crazy stuff. I've never seen this before. And so it was like, we were down the middle and I got to be exposed to this test. I was like, man, this is like a beautiful thing, like the spontaneity kind of thing.
And
like,
it's not chaotic.
Yeah, it's not chaotic. It's always like, it's always pointing us back to the word, like 100%, but it's pointing us back to Jesus and like glorifying him and not ourselves. So it's like, I was like, man, it's such a beautiful thing to do. Like, just to be like, Spirit, whatever you want, I'll do. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, we're gonna screw that up and say, like, save, like the Spirit said, hey, I want you to pray for one of your truck drivers, Brett. I'm pointing at Brett. No one can see that.
Nobody can see that.
But so now we're all pointing at Brett.
But it's like, Brett, I want you to pray for this truck driver and say, you say something happens that you don't. It's not like you're being condemned.
Right.
But it's just, but anytime the Spirit calls, it's like, just answer. It's like, okay, I will. Or like, hey, I won't. Brett's got pages.
I do. So there's a phrase in, I think it's Ephesians. I didn't get a chance to find it yet, but it says, don't quench the Holy Spirit. That's actually in 1 Thessalonians.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or I think in Ephesians, it's don't grieve the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And I think, like Pentecostals or whatever would say, this is a big, but like, it's just like what you said though. Yeah. It's the Spirit is impressing on me something to do,
yeah,
and I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
And so I think part of our sanctification is not just what we're talking about here with being intentional and being serious, because I always heard it said, wherever you spend, you know, open your calendar and your checkbook, wherever you spend your time and your money is what you love.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if we spend our time and everything on Christ, you know, then we know that's our first love. And part of being in the Spirit and being with Christ is like what you're saying here. The Scripture is just so clear. Like, don't quench the Spirit. The Spirit is going to press on you things to do.
Yeah.
But we're working out our salvation. So unlike being saved, which I think God does that. Like in sanctification, we can really hinder the speed we are sanctified by quenching the Spirit and not being open to it. These are real. This is not like wacky stuff. This is biblical Christianity.
Yeah.
That we can impede our progress. We know for Philippians 1 says that he will bring us to completion. He will keep us. He will grow us. But part of this working it out is we can really hinder ourselves if we wait.
That's a beautiful thing about the word too, is we're not only seeing like the voice of God through the word, but we're also seeing like the characters who wrote it. We're seeing their voices as well. That the Spirit, it's like, moves them to write.
Dude, that's been one of my favorite things learning recently, is like the characteristics of the people writing the books, because they're so different.
Yeah.
And you realize that the more and you read it and the deeper you read it, it's so cool.
Or like the literary genre, like the genres too.
Oh yeah.
Like that's been that's blown my mind. Like, man, that's, I wonder why these feel like so different.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a cohesive book, obviously.
Oh yeah.
But it's also different genres of things, like, mm-hmm, and different voices and different people that we get to see play out through the influence of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And don't read the Bible literally, read it literarily, read it in the literary form it is.
Yeah.
So you can't read a Minor Prophet like you do Paul.
Yeah. Which is, yeah.
I mean, I know that to be true, but I've never thought about it.
Well, if you do, I mean, so it's another thing. Don't get me started on education. I'm kind of a weirdo about education, but like, we don't know how to read our Bibles because we don't understand, because it's all in one binding, that there are 66 unique books that have different literary genres. That's crazy.
But it's not necessarily a book.
Yeah, it really is. And we have to read a Minor Prophet.
It's a compendium.
Okay, now you're just making words.
Now you're just dropping knowledge. Just dropping dimes
over the word compendium.
No reason to. We all know what it means.
No, we don't.
Well, it means whatever. Well, contextually, we know it means something impressive.
A collection of works.
A collection of concise but detailed information about a particular subject, especially in a book or other publication.
Yeah.
Nerd.
Yeah. So when you said earlier about like learning how to read the Bible, for me personally, that was one big step in my sanctification. Was if we understand how to read the Bible, if we understand how to read different literary works, you start to unlock the truths and you can be a lot more confident that you have the heartbeat of God because you're reading. I mean, so when you read a minor prophet, I think the big thing is you might not understand the specific circumstances or the circumstance. Like there's no, like if someone comes at you and says, the Babylonians are at your door, that is not the message of Habakkuk, right? The message is unfaithful people, unfaithful covenant people will be judged. So don't be unfaithful, right? So we have to get down to the brass tacks and say, what do we take from a book like that?
Kind of saw that, like, Micah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, all the minor prophets, and we're kind of off the sanctification reservation. But I think it fits because...
We'll just retitle the show and go from there.
That's good.
Yeah.
I think it all
fits. Just call this sanctification an overview.
Yeah.
Because I think Bible reading is a big part of our sanctification. Yeah. If we don't understand how to read the Bible, we can't unlock it. I mean, the truths are there. Like, people get to Leviticus. I'm like, well, what do you do?
Yeah.
Well, you get to the universal truth and you apply the universal truth. And the universal truth is not, we can't have clothes with two different types of cloth anymore.
I love my polycotton blends.
Yeah. No, yeah. The truth is God's people are set apart and unique.
Yeah.
That's the message. Mm-hmm. We have a holy God who demands not two clothes, but you know.
No, oh yeah, Micah. Thanks for this Bible. Whoever left.
Can't be leaving a Cambridge Bible up in this church. We're snobs.
He's petting it like a cat.
And for those who are super nerdy about Bible references, don't grieve the Spirit is Ephesians 4:30.
Yes.
And do not, and also 1 Thessalonians 4:13. So.
Yeah, I think in a future episode, I'd like to expand more on like a rule of life, what that means. That
sounds
what that means in our particular setting.
Yep.
In Sioux City, Iowa. Hmm.
We do have listeners that are not in Sioux City.
Oh yeah, but
yeah,
because we can expound on it. But like I said, I'm not really like super knowledgeable on it yet.
Sure.
I mean, we just started.
Yeah, I'm growing in it. This has been like a year long process of like, well, what should I do this? Should I not do this?
You've been stewing on this for a year.
Yeah.
Ever since you found John Marcoma, right?
Yeah.
Make a decision, man.
I'm just kidding.
I was like, says,
I say as like the most decisive person in the team. I'm aware.
Yeah, I'm aware.
I know what I said.
But no, I don't know. Holiness is not talked about much in the church, but I want it to become a language for us as people. Whoever listens to the podcast, like, strive to be holy. Strive to be like God. Strive to be like, just take the next steps. You know, just keep pursuing. Keep showing up even when it is dry.
And when it's hard.
Yeah. When it's really difficult. And show up even when it's really good. Because it's easy to not show up when it's good. Like we always talk about, it's easy to not show up, but it's hard too. When it doesn't go our way. Just show up.
Mm-hmm.
And God will mold you and mend you and form you into his likeness for yourself. For the people around.
It's like a situation where we got to be praying for discipline.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So which I forget to do too much.
Yeah,
if only I had some kind of discipline to pray for discipline.
I heard a guy say one time, if you're inconsistent, just stay inconsistent and inconsistent and inconsistent. And before you know it, you're consistent. I also will tell you my favorite analogy for what you said about showing up when it's good and showing up when it's hard is back when everybody was on well water, they used to have these hand pumps.
Okay.
And that's how you got water from the well.
In-laws have one.
Right. So the idea of a hand pump is as you're pumping it, you're basically, you're throwing air down and you're bringing water up.
Yeah.
And what typically comes up first is dirty, gross, scummy water.
It's sooty.
Yeah, right. So you got to pump past it. And that's this idea of being dry, right? It's like you're pumping and like all you're getting is this nasty water. It's like I'm reading my Bible and I'm not getting it. And then you're pumping and you're pumping. And then all of a sudden, the good water starts gushing out and you're like, I've got my good water. But then what do? They stop pumping. And then that good water that's coming is now not coming. And then what happens? Well, then it stops, gets sedentary again. And now you've got the dirty water again.
Yeah.
So the idea of discipline is it's like pumping water is don't stop when it's good and don't stop when it's not good, but keep consistent.
I love that analogy.
Yeah.
It's very good.
I like that.
Was it Micah 6:8?
Merry Christmas, babe.
It says, he has told you, O man, what is good. And what does God require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Mm-hmm. Boom. Three Ooh. Things right there. Mm. Seek justice, or do justice in this version. Love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God.
Mm.
Man. Isn't that how hard those three things are to do?
So easy. Walk in the park.
Walk. Seek justice. Which, yeah. Justice is a word now. Like it's a taboo word for some reason. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to seek justice. That means we're supposed to, like,
yeah.
on whatever side it looks like, we're supposed to seek justice. And that's holy justice.
Mm-hmm.
And holy kindness, and to walk humbly. Final thoughts will go to my right, Andrew.
Will you stop?
Is cool. Any final horn. Thoughts?
Around the horn.
Around the horn.
All right, Andrew.
Final thoughts. I think of...
Oh, I was like, what are we yeah. answering?
His final
my
thoughts.
Final thoughts are almost always very similar, but they're always pertinent. Yeah. And so...
I agree.
It's... Thank God we're not responsible for our own sanctification.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
I've said that before about other things that we've talked about, but it just always hits so true.
It does.
Yeah. That,
it's true.
Yeah. I'm just glad that like we're not responsible for it because we would screw it up.
Yeah. For sure.
Yep.
Bryce-ly.
I'm grateful that no matter what happens, no matter how many times I mess up, no matter how many times I miss the sanctification that I should have had, that I have another opportunity to be sanctified. It doesn't matter if I listen to the Holy Spirit or not, which is such a terrible way of phrasing that. Now I'm saying it out loud, but he's going to allow that sanctification to continue and build me further down in life.
That's good. I would say my closing thought is the beauty of sanctification is the prize.
Yeah.
Like I think sometimes when we talk about disciplining ourselves, very important. All these things are important. Rule of life, super important. All these things are helpful. You know, set yourself up to win, so to speak. Set yourself up to be in a position to draw near. But what we're drawing near to is not a checklist. It's not even just a Bible. Like we're drawing near to our Creator, drawing near to our Savior. The joy of sanctification is we're becoming more like the one we're meant to love. We to love of all else. We talked in Sunday school this morning that Jesus came not for peace, but he would divide between families because he's worth all of it. So he's worth our life. And so I need to be reminded again and again that the purpose of sanctification is to draw near to my first love, which is Christ. Yeah. And it's beautiful that we don't have dry checklists. We have processes
yeah.
to bring us to our Savior.
Yeah.
And I never want to forget that.
That's good. I would agree with all of those statements.
If your final thought is our quote, so
well. Yeah, we're gonna drop kick you.
You have to have a real final thought.
You
that's how I would agree. I think it just reminds me of how much I need to depend on God to guide my whole life, my mm-hmm. entire life,
mm-hmm.
and to strive to like be formed around all the teachings, and how much we need it, not for myself, but like for my family, for others too. I think I get lost sometimes of being like really outsider mentality, you know, like I care a lot about I want to see like the world come to know Jesus. But, there's times I neglect to like disciple my family, you know, cause I have such an outside mentality, but it's good to know that I have grace and mm-hmm. that God
Amen.
Uh-huh.
changes Amen. Our perspective mm-hmm. even more and more like the years, as the years go by of like having that one-on-one communal relationship with him. So I think it's always good to be reminded. I think that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So keep track. We're going to be putting out more stuff after the beginning of the year.
Now that we're done being sick and having babies.
Yes.
I mean, my baby's not going away, but.
No. I really hope not.
Me too.
That'd be weird.
I got to hold that baby today.
Dang it.
It was dope.
You did.
It's a good kid.
This is a quality baby.
That is quality.
High quality baby.
Yeah, he looks like his mom. So
2021 model, I wouldn't send it back.
Mm-hmm. It's a good model. I think with anything, we should just strive to be like him.
Amen.
All the time. But keep your eyeballs out. Make sure you're seeing all of our stuff coming up.
Andy Southern again.
Rate us on Apple Podcasts. That's how people see us more.
Mm-hmm. It's true. And Spotify. Spotify gets a lot.
I don't know. Do they have a rating system?
You
know, I don't think they have a rating system.
So now that you're saying that, I have no idea.
Because the ratings on Apple Podcasts get us more views.
Checks out.
And it pops up more.
5 stars only.
So yeah, we only accept 1 stars. Wait, 5. Wait.
Nope. Seven. Nope.
We take 5.
We take 5 at least.
Leave your honest 5-star review.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Share it with us. Share it with others. Always go. You can go into Anchor and leave us voice memos. We'd love to answer your questions.
We would love. That would be so much
fun. Has anyone done that yet?
I don't think so.
Dang it.
But I hope so.
Please do.
Why you had one job, people.
I know we have.
We'll do a mailbag episode.
Get on it.
For sure.
If you don't want us to play it on the show, we won't have to, but we would still answer your question. If you want us to play it on the show, we will.
Always. But yeah, this has been the Outsiders Podcast. See you next time.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall Credit Card Bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.